Blog Talk Radio.
Precious saints of God, how are you doing today on this rainy, cloudy, dark, gloomy Monday? Hope you're all doing well. As for me, rejoicing. We had a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day yesterday, morning and evening. Wonderful Lord's Day. And I hope and pray that you're ready to start the week. And we're... We're back to talk about how does God undo the tragedies that have unfolded before our very eyes? How does God undo it? Not, the question is not how we undo it. How does God undo it? We make the mess. The tragedies are a result doing. How does God reverse? How does God undo? How does God repair the situation that we currently find ourselves in? You saints, you have to admit, we have to be honest. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in decline. You go throughout all central New York. You ask people. Look, the baptismal gowns that we're going to be using this Sunday, when we have our church picnic, when we're up there at Christian Lake, all of those baptismal gowns came from a church that just shut down. It was known as the Ilion Baptist Church. Their property, their church building, takes up the whole block. The building doesn't make the church. It's the people. They went down to five. The church got down to five women. They couldn't sustain it anymore. So when you see our baptismal candidates going into the water, please take note that the gowns that they're wearing came from a church that just closed. That's a tragedy unfolding before our very eyes. A little closer to home, you have the Methodist Church there. They have shut down, saints. Do we need any more proof? We have a church right in our backyard that just shut down. Well, how does God turn the situation around? Well, I gave you one example. God turns the situation around when he elects a child, when he chooses a child, when he brings in a harvest of children. We talked about Samuel. Samuel was God's antidote. Samuel was God's medicine. Samuel was what God was going to use to inoculate little Samuel, by the way, little itty-bitty Samuel, the little tyke running around in his little coat that his mother made him of linen, his little priestly garment, a four-year-old toddler walking on the grounds of the tabernacle, that little Samuel, that's the one that God would use to turn things around because there was a tragedy unfolding before the very eyes of the nation as permissive Eli allowed his two wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to drive the ancient church into the ground. It was Eli, the high priest, turning a blind eye to his crooked sons who were robbing the church blind. You read 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. The Bible even calls the sons of Eli the sons of Belial or the sons of Satan. That's the label that the Holy Spirit gives to Hophni and Phinehas. These sons of Belial, the sons of the worthless one, the sons of Satan. That's who was running the church. And they ran the church into the ground. How did God turn it around? Samuel, a child. And this is why we will focus our attention on children. This is why we're going to do everything we can, to put all of our energy and resources and giftings behind Sunday school. Because this is how God has chosen. This is how God turns a tragedy into a triumph. He starts collecting children. Parents start bringing their children to the house of the Lord. And it's in the house of God where God calls them, like he did Samuel. Well, today I want to offer you a second way in which God turns tragedy into triumph. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for a beautiful Lord's Day yesterday. And we know it was you, Lord. We know it was all you yesterday. As we talked yet again about prayer, Hezekiah's prayer, and how there's a mailbox. God has a mailbox at Grace Church. I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be the first to put before you my impossible situation. It's there in the letter. It's all sealed. It's between you and I, Lord, no one else. For your eyes only, Lord, for your eyes only. Consider my petition, O God, Answer me according to thy loving kindness. Answer me according to thy tender mercies. Be gracious to me, O Lord, as I turn to you in faith. Reward me, for Scripture says that you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Lord, I got my back up against the wall, and I need you to come through. I'm trusting that you will, because you always have. You have never failed me. You have never forsaken me. You've always been there, and I know you will be there again. Bless this study, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. You know, Samuel came into existence as a result of prayer. His mother Hannah prayed. She asked the Lord for a male child, and she said to Eli when she brought him, when Hannah weaned Samuel, she said, "For this child I prayed to the Lord, and here he is, he answered me. And since he gave me Samuel, I promised, I vowed, I made a verbal pledge. I made a verbal contract that if the Lord would give me a son, I would give him back to the Lord." And here he is, proof positive that not only does God hear prayer, but he answers prayer. So again, we're praying. I am believing God for 250 children. That I am believing God for 250 children. That's what I'm praying for. Every day I go to church, Monday to Friday, I pray. One of the things on my prayer list for the day is, Lord, grant us, give us, send our way, put into our hands that we may mold them. Send us 250 children. That's the first solution. It's the first. And remember that Samuel was born during the period of the judges. Eli is the next to last judge, and Samuel is the last judge. At the beginning of Judges, in Judges 2, people have already made a mess of the church. By the end of the book of Judges, God is turning things around with the last judge, little itty-bitty Samuel. Well, today I will show you from Scripture that, again, God answers prayer. God always answers prayer. And what God, the best that God gives us always comes by means of prayer. God always gives us the best by prayer. Think about Rachel. Think about Rachel. Rachel was barren and she bare not. You read Genesis 30. There is Rachel, Jacob's wife, desperate to have a child. And she prayed. She prayed after Jacob rebuked her. Jacob said to her, you know, you're coming to me as though I was God. You need to go to God yourself. Go to God in prayer. And the Bible says that God hearkened unto Rachel. God heard her prayer and she conceived. And what did God give her when she conceived? Well, he gave her the best. He gave her Joseph. Remember, it was Joseph, the young boy with the coat of many colors, who later on grew up to be prime minister of Egypt, who was so blessed of the Lord that he was able to save God's people. See, when you pray to the Lord, he'll always give you the best. And in that time, the best was Joseph. Here, Hannah prays. Hannah prays. And what does he give her? God gives her the best. He gives her Samuel. Samuel is God's best. God will always give the church his best when we pray. Now here, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 16, because now the little boy that was dedicated to God is all grown up. He's an old man now. His ministry is at its tail end. And here Samuel is praying. He's praying for a wicked king, a wayward king, a king who has gone off the rails. The name of the king is King Saul. And when King Saul went off the rails, he was taking God's people with him, because God's people always tend to follow their leader for better or for worse. And so if King Saul goes off the rails, Israel, the nation, will go off the rails. And Samuel is perturbed because he was able to stop. He was able to prevent the ultimate decline and death of the church in his lifetime. Now God had told him, okay, now you hand it over to Saul. We're going from the period of the judges to the period of the monarchy. We're shifting as far as leadership style. We're transitioning from a leadership style of judges to a leadership style of kings. You're the last judge. Saul will be the first king. And so Saul is duly installed as God's leader. And he started out good, and he started out doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But quickly he went off the rails. Power went to his head. And instead of listening to the Lord, he started to do things his way, which is always the wrong way. When they asked me, Pastor, did you do this your way? No, I never do things my way. Anytime you decide to do things your way, you wind up wrong. The best thing to always do is to do it God's way. God is never wrong. God never messes up. God never takes his church off the rails. His church always stays on the rails. So here, Saul has taken the church off the rails, and Samuel is in prayer. And let's listen. 1 Samuel 16. What does God do to rectify the situation? How does God turn this present tragedy of King Saul going off the rails? How does he take that tragedy and turn it into a triumph? Well, again, it all starts with prayer. Let's listen. 1 Samuel 16, starting at verse 1.
Now the Lord said to Samuel,
how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.
So there you have it. Samuel the prophet is mourning. He's in prayer. He's before the Lord. He's crying. He's crying before God. He did. He's in intercessory prayer. Samuel is heartbroken. God, I turned things around, and then we put Saul in charge, and he's made a mess of things, oh God. You know, and it's a horrible thing. If you are a leader that always does things right and will always do things God's way, and under that, God's people always prosper, it kills you. It just destroys you to see a man taking a church and driving it into the ground. It just kills you. And this is why you're in mourning. Why? Because the church is about to die. That's why you mourn. Because you can see the church is about to flatline. The church is on a respirator and it's barely alive. And then you don't want to hear the sound of the flatline. And that's why you're mourning. The church is dying a slow death. And so you pray. And so God says to Samuel, here's the answer to your prayer. I'm not going to work with Saul anymore, but I got somebody in mind. I've already picked somebody. And who might that be? Let's listen.
How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.
Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you.
So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said,
Do you come peaceably?
Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.
Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and said,
Surely, the Lord's anointed is before him.
But the Lord said to Samuel,
Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said,
Neither has the Lord chosen this one.
Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said,
Neither has the Lord chosen this one.
So Samuel is sent to Jesse's house, because in Jesse's house, God has the person that's going to turn things around. And when Samuel looks at Jesse's first three sons, who are young adults, they're adults, the Lord says, no, none of these three are the ones I'm looking for. They are young. They're probably in their late 20s. And God says, nope, not these three. So let's continue reading.
Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse,
The Lord has not chosen these. Are all the young men here?
There remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep.
Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.
So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes, and good-looking. And the Lord said,
Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.
A youth. Not a young adult. Not a person in their 20s. A teenager. Anoint the teenager. The teenager's the one. So how is God going to turn things around in this most depressing age when the church in America is in decline? Well, here we have it. Go get the kids. Go get the children. Go get the little itty-bitty ones. Go get the little Samuels. And then go after the teenagers. Go, listen, saints, do you think God's got it wrong? God didn't get it wrong. You know how we know God didn't get it wrong? Who is Satan going after? You know, Satan always imitates God. Who is Satan going after this day? Well, through drag queen storytelling time, Satan is going after little children in public libraries. You see, the same way God got little Samuel, the drag queens are out there in full force recruiting little children, desensitizing them, polluting their little minds, making them think that that garbage is normal, they're going after little children. And then who else is Satan going after? Is he coming after a person like me? No, not really. He doesn't care about me. Who's he going after? Young people. Young people. Satan is throwing all kinds of influencers, they're called influencers, to target young people. Satan is only doing what God has done in the past. God will use children, and he will use young people to turn things around, and Satan will recruit children and young people to make things worse. So, let's obey the Lord. Let's go, let's put all of our energies, all of our strength, all of our resources, all of our gifts, and let's employ them to reach out to young people like David and to reach out like children like Samuel. And if we seed the church, if we use the children as seed, and if we use the young people as seed, we can turn this present tragedy into a glorious triumph. God used little Samuel to replace Eli and his two wicked sons. And God used David to replace a maniacal King Saul. My brothers and sisters, the strategy has already been laid before us. It's a God strategy. Both Samuel and David came as a result of prayer. So let us pray that God will revive us, give us 250 children, and give us 250 young people. I believe God is going to do it. So let's work as hard as we can to make that possible. Arise, anoint him, for it is he who I have chosen. God bless you, saints. Stay encouraged and stay in prayer. God bless you.
Solid white.